welcome to episode 188 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Zoe Smith.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan.
Sal Sidebottom.
And Azu. So, I believe, unless I'm jumping ahead, you all fell out of the teleport into various rooms dotted around the company where some people were recording remotely. Yes, we got that far. Am I jumping ahead?
Yes.
Reining back in, yeah?
This is too... It's too meta.
It's too meta.
Just leave us in the void where we belong.
Yes. I will make my home here. Yeah. It will be good.
Some Hideo Kojima bullshit.
You find yourself in an enormous game over screen. You don't know how you got
here. I've got to unplug my controller and put it in a player 2 slot and then I can still play the game.
So, I believe where we left off is a nice clearing of NPC house, which made me very happy.
You've still got 3.
Mm. Yeah, for now.
Shave some of those off.
I'll find a way.
I can't believe you gave 2 characters a nice romantic beginning and then you just... That's when you decided to dump the NPCs en masse. Like, it's just the fact that we're now traveling across space and time. And like, Azu's like, when's the second date? And Cell's like, damn it, I thought of so many good pickup lines to make Barnes embarrassed.
It's fine. We'll finish out the campaign. Then Azu can take all the Infinity Stones back. Mm. And then take the long way round with Kiko. It's fine.
Do not speak to me of that ending.
So, this is quite a light start for imperiled beginnings, but nonetheless, you are all currently flying through infinity, or some version of wording, I think was what I said, falling into a void, etc. And as a gentle reminder for you and listeners, as part of falling through the infinite, naturally a small piece of the infinite lodges within yourself, which just so happens to equate exactly to 1 level. How convenient is the infinite, guys? Like, oh my gosh, thank you, infinite. That's really rounding things out nicely.
I see we're using the classic computer game ding moment. Perfect.
Indeed. Talk about arbitrary justification. This is possibly my most arbitrary and I couldn't be prouder. But with that in mind, everyone is leveling up. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to deal with that before we return into what's happening. I am going to preface this with, you have still taken damage and any new things that are coming your way, if they require like the spending of a spell slot or whatever, that is empty until you rest. This is not a rest. You are falling through the infinite. It is not restful. But it's a good idea to go through everyone quickly, one at a time, and check in with what your level up looks like. So I'm going to start, if I may, with Bryn, as you also have Scrox to discuss. So let's get through that. And what did your level up look like quite quickly?
Turns out for most characters, level 9 to level 10 is a pretty easy. Scrox went from level 7 to level 8, which was also not too complicated. All the numbers increased a little bit, as they do when you level up.
They went from good numbers to better numbers.
Yeah, lots of numbers went up by plus 1. Great. The only abilities that have changed really are Hamid gained a new spell. It is a level 5 spell. It is the spell Lightning Arc. It's a damage based spell, not based on fire, which is an interesting new direction.
I hate it.
Also, just for the record, my spell specialization feat gets to switch spells every 2 levels, and I switched it from Fireball, which is now maxed out anyway, to Lightning Arc. So. Good times.
Fireball is maxed out anyway. God, sorcerer of problems, am I right?
Yeah, right.
How about Scrark?
So Scrark, very similarly, all the numbers went up. I actually took the opportunity to rejig a few of the skill allocations a little bit for Scrark based on what he's been using. Mm-hmm. Just a few tweaks here and there to a few numbers. His only new ability is a rogue talent, which became a feat. And that feat is called Death from Above. Because, I mean, who doesn't want that? And it basically means that when he does his patented climbing up something, leaping off and falling on you knife first, he now gets bonuses to attack rolls.
Understood. Love it. In that case, well, I mean, Death from Above presumably scales with how far you fall. So if you fall through an infinite void, that's
a lot of
damage.
It's just a flat bonus to the attack. It doesn't even affect damage. I mean,
we'll need to come up with something where falling through the infinite gives you a boost.
There's a whole second feat, which you'll get the next time he gets a feat, which would give him bonus damage on that effect too.
Understood. We'll push you through the infinite again then on the way back.
God.
In that case then, I'm going to bounce across to Ben. You're a casty type. What does your level up look like?
Yeah, quite similar. So all my saves went up by 1, base attack bonus went up by 1, and I got a second level 5 spell slot. And given that I'm a prepared caster, that spell is currently anything in the cleric level 5 list. So, you know, watch this space. I'll need to rest to actually put something in it.
And no doubt it will be horrendous.
Yes. Of note, actually, brings me about skills, is I actually leveled up knowledge planes because we've been dealing with a lot of planey things in Yerlik, and we've done a lot of knowledge
planes. That's very sensible. That holds together.
It seemed to make sense. The other thing is, while looking through, I kind of updated his character sheet and recalculated stuff. And a point of order is that I've massively mucked up the number of channel positive energies he has. I was assuming that it went off of wisdom, which is a cleric spellcasting stat. And it's not. It goes off of charisma. So I don't have 7 channel positive energies a day. I have 2.
I just want listeners to imagine Alex's face now. And also when we were discussing this before, as we were going through the really, really crunchy stuff, Jack, and everything was right.
I don't know what you mean.
As he realised that his maths had been correct the whole way through.
I don't know what you mean. It's fine. I'm taking this news so calm and so well.
I'm sure there will be no larger repercussions.
And I'm fine that there will not be punishment in order and that I'm not just going to resurrect a Medusa just so I can get the petrification that I deserve and that kind of thing.
I mean, Grizzop was there at the time, so Zolf had nothing to do with that. That was just Sasha stabbing it to death.
That's a fair point.
We did have some thinking as well, and I don't think the excess channel positives actually have made that much of a difference.
Jokes aside, not really.
Yeah,
only during the show in Dungeon Crawl.
Yeah, the one thing that is worth mentioning is I used 2 channel positives during like our day in the garden, so I'm now out. I don't.
When you say it like that, it sounds silly.
So the previous fights we've just done, we didn't get any extra healing, but it does mean that I don't have any healing for when we pop. Well, sorry, I don't have any channel positives. I'm still a cleric. I have loads of healing left.
Loads of hit points for everyone. Share them around. In that case, then, Lydia, I'm going to jump to you. Alchemist, they're always simple to level up with no complications or qualifiers whatsoever, so I'm assuming yours was straightforward.
Okay, so Sel got a bunch of numbers that went up, you know, saves and attack bonus and stuff.
Congratulations on your numbers.
Yeah, the things that are actually interesting are that they now have a level 4 Alchemist slot, though it's worth pointing out that they've got alchemical allocation and have a 4th level light spell as a potion, which was dealt with earlier. Mm-hmm. So that functions as a level 2 spell. So they can do that and still have some spell slots for it. But yeah, when they've had a rest, there will be a few other things. Alchemists can technically supposedly know all their extracts, but they're supposed to learn them in... They can know any extract, but they have to learn them in gameplay. It just made sense to me that what gets added is B-shape 2. So when they have a rest, they can become more kinds of animals of different sizes and capabilities. Oh, yes. Whoa. Finally, they may not be struggling in the dark quite so much. The other thing is that they get another discovery, which is a sort of addition to... Usually it's an addition to bomb stuff. I cannot be bothered with the levels of complication that most of them come with, so I've just made all their bombs sticky, which just means that any that hit directly will then do splash damage again next turn. So...
Nice.
Oh, and I realised that they've also got access to heroism as a level 3... extract, which is something that, having seen Wild do it, I think it was Wild that did it, was it?
Hamid did it. Hamid. A few times.
Oh,
yeah.
Sel stands Hamid, and, you know, hence getting a dragon breath ability and, like, copying heroism. So that is now in their extract book, and hopefully that might mean that some of their bombs actually hit, you know, because it gives an extra +2 to those rolls. So maybe that could work. Maybe. You never know. We can live in hope. They also have a ton of skill points, and I put a lot of that in knowledge nature because we've been looking at weird plants.
That scans. Yep. It's always nice whenever I hear someone say, I got loads of ranks, and you don't say, so I just learned 14 new languages.
I mean, Sel already knows a lot of languages. Well, I say a lot. More than I do. Although they are tied to ones that I know a bit, so that, you know... I even looked up, like, gender-neutral pronouns in Portuguese, which is actually a really interesting topic.
I'm really sorry I can't put you in Portugal.
It's okay. Well, it would be Brazil, which is where, like, or that area, which is where I've been and where Sel has been. Not
fair
Portuguese,
bait.
Which makes a lot of difference.
Do they still speak Portuguese?
I would say, historically, right, there wouldn't have been the same kind of... What my headcanon is, which I'm going to say is what Sel thinks has happened... but Alex can say this is not necessarily the way the world works in detail, is that just as there have been a few towns of people that mostly spoke English that became trading hubs in North America, there were some Spanish and Portuguese trading centers, but the history is extremely different, and it is they possibly shut down at about the same time that, you know, maybe the ones in North America did.
That scans. I will say, however, that linguistic history is not something I intend to be diving down, so I have less prep than I should to answer that question at this exact moment.
There's lots of things that I've thought about that you don't need to think about.
Well, the real question then is, have you thought about Helen's level up? Because I have, and I'd love to know more.
What a nice segue. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. My level up is basically nothing.
Well, I take my segue back then. Thank you very much.
I have gained some hit points. My total is, the total of hit points I can have is now 89. So nice plus 20. I have some extras to my, like, I got an extra one to fortitude, reflex and will. My BAB is better. That's base attack bonus for those following along at home.
Any new and shiny spells? Can you perhaps grow a second iron beard now?
Sadly, no. I do now have access to one third level spell. Obviously, I can't access it yet because I haven't had a sleep. But the one that I will probably use is one called Prayer, which gives all of us plus ones and all of our enemies minus ones, which would be good. Also, there is a spell that will give Topaz wings. So I've just got that on
just saying. You know.
Yeah, just so you know.
Full Valkyrie.
Angelic Camel.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah. Yeah, very good.
Understood. Well, that was very generous of the Infinite, wasn't it? Goodness, I hope you're all very appreciative. Speaking of, I believe we're all plummeting through a void of stars and galaxies and slowly feeling ourselves distributed amongst the cosmos and the planes.
Do we need to establish the marching order and who's holding whose
hand? I think what we need to establish is dominance. With that, I'd like a will save, fort save and reflex save from everyone.
Oh, God. This is our first recording since Christmas, and this is the first thing we're having to roll. God's sake.
Oh, bloody hell. All right.
Oh, dear.
Are we all going to do forts first, or what's...
Yeah, let's do them in order, otherwise I'm going to have a bad day very, very quickly.
Oh, we wouldn't want that for you, Alex.
So what's everyone's fort save first?
So Cell rolled a natural one.
Oh, no.
That's good, thank you.
Remember, they're immune to poison. I don't know if that's relevant. Mm-hmm. I hope it helps.
22 for Zolf's fort.
17 for Azu.
Mm-hmm.
13 for Hamid. And 11 for Skrark.
Oh no. We're all going to be sick when we come out the other end.
Oh yeah.
Understood. Cool. Well, that was a good start. I'm very happy with Lydia.
To give you an idea of how these are going to go for Cell, I double-checked that I wasn't accidentally rolling a d6 on my
own. Oh no.
So, can I get a will save from everyone, please?
Oh, this is the will save. Okay, great.
Will save.
So, Zolf got a 32.
Blah.
Cell got 8. Does that make you feel better?
See, Cell's my favourite. Big fan of Cell. Aww. Yep.
Azu got 23.
Mm-hmm.
17 for Hamid, 18 for Skrark.
Also, sorry, Alex, I just need to ask, is this an emotion spell or effect, or a poison, a spell, or a spell-like ability?
No.
Okay, fine. 32 then.
It's very carefully crafted. Not to be. You can get all of your toys at the end of the journey. Or I'll turn this teleport around. I've had it up to here. You keep turning the light on in the back seat. Okay, can I get reflex saves from everyone, please?
That's a 15 from Zolf.
Oh, 17 from Cell, which when you count that their reflex thing is 11, like that, I get, they didn't roll higher than a 6 this whole, thing.
Understood.
Azu somehow got 23.
Nice.
First time that a reflex or dex save has ever gone well at all for
her. I'm very disappointed in you. Carry on.
23 for Hamid, 18 for Skrark.
Okay, let me just have a look at this array quite quickly.
Oh, no.
Did you roll for Summit, Yell, and Wild?
Oh, Bryn, you're also now my favourite.
Oh, God.
Because I don't have to hit you in the face. I can just hit your friends.
No, that's worse!
I can confirm there was at least one natural one within that.
Oh, woo! Goodness.
Me and Wilder stuck in the interdimensional space going on a side quest.
This is what happens when I get denied, like, roles for too long. You had a lot of talky sessions, so now all sessions must start with at least, like, 20 to 40 roles. Okay, cool. Now, I know a lot of you will be expecting, well, a reflex save, that's gonna control whether we can hold together, but how can you hold together when you don't have hands?
Alex.
Ben gets it.
Yeah.
Could I please get everyone with me on a wibble wobble, please? Correct. I'm going to take a break there and we can come back in on a wibble wobble. Because I really enjoyed
that. Super early, but who cares? Like, we're having a break at 50 minutes in.
Hello everyone, Helen here, who you may know from Rusty Quill Gaming and Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about We're Alive Descendants, the sequel series to the award-winning audio drama We're Alive. From KC Wayland and Wayland Productions, We're Alive is a survival horror odyssey spanning 6 seasons and 13 years. Set 18 years after the original series We're Alive, A Story of Survival, follow the harrowing journey of the next generation of survivors in Descendants as they discover how much of the world has changed, how the infected have evolved, and face the conflict sparked by humanity's efforts to reclaim a lost civilization. Join this new generation as they work to make sense of this deadly new world before it consumes them and everything they know and love. We're Alive, Descendants will bring together narrative threads from the first 6 seasons, but is also a great place to start for those new to We're Alive, and should appeal to fans of zombie fiction in general. Created and produced by Wayland Productions, and executive produced by us here at Rusty Quill, We're Alive, Descendants premieres April 5th. Search for We're Alive wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit www.wearealive.com or www.rustyquill.com. For more information.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Your generosity in your wibble wobbles has been noted.
Can my character live, please? As
no.
Just like a little treat.
What I would say, interestingly enough, is that Zolf is the first person to, let's call it, coming to. It's a bit of an understatement, because it's not like you were asleep. It's more like, have you ever sort of zoned out, maybe when driving or something, and then you zone back in where, like, you've been perfectly safe, but you're just like, I sort of lost time there almost. I had almost a daydream. That, Zolf.
Yes.
You realise you're not sure how much time has passed, but you're currently in complete blackness. Do you have dark vision or just low light vision?
Yeah, dwarves have dark vision.
So you have true dark vision?
Can see up to 60 feet even in total darkness.
Ah, in which case then I apologise. I'm going to retcon that slightly.
Ah.
You come to and you realise that, yeah, you've been sort of daydreaming or something similar, and you find yourself in a long, low stone tunnel. It appears to be worked stone more akin to a mine than you would necessarily compare to, say, a temple. So it is, tools have worked upon this rock, but it is not fancy. You are alone.
Wild? Azu? Anyone? Oh, no. I mean, I'm gonna, like, look around for any clues as to where I am. Is there anything I recognise?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, can you give me a broad perception check then, please? Unless you want to bring any specialist stuff in.
No, broad perception's fine. That is a 29.
29, fabulous, cool. So this is definitely a mine of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
There's a perceptible slope. It's a well-built mine. You can tell that there is a slope, so it's within sort of acceptable range, let's call it. It's not like precipitous or anything like that. There are unlit torch brackets on the wall, which could be lit should you wish. Decent minecart track running through. It's very clear where up is, very clear where down is. It takes a moment to recognise. It feels like probably a tin mine, something similar.
Yep. Okay. I will start, like, quietly moving up because,
you know, I want to get to the surface and see what's up, like, where am I?
Okay, yeah, so you start moving up. There's obviously, it's not a perfectly straight, it doesn't work like that, there are slight kinks and turns and so on, but as you move up you hear a distant rumble as of rock settling. It doesn't appear to be a complete massive like cave in or anything like that, but it's a gentle sort of just something shifting and settling. You think it's coming from up ahead for where you are walking, but it's hard to tell.
Okay, I'm gonna be even quieter, like, yeah, I don't know this, you know, who's in this mine or what's going on, to be honest. So I'd rather get the drop on somebody before they get the drop on me.
You start detecting the smell of smoke.
Okay. Given that I used to be a miner, what would that normally indicate?
I'm going to give you this for free because you did a decent perception check and, yeah, you do have some experience. To your nose, it smells like probably either a lit torch or a... maybe it might be like ambient torches you can get where it's like an oil burner that you'd put in a room to just light the entire room, something like that.
Okay.
You can't hear it yet, but you've caught a whiff, which means that there is air passing through wherever you're coming towards. Air is coming down and bringing a scent with it.
Okay.
Oh, apart from that, by the way, it's seemingly deathly silent. There's no sound of activity, no people, no moving carts, no mining of such.
All right. Well, I'll get my glaive sort of at the ready. I'm not going to turn it on.
Sure.
And I'll keep approaching because I have to find my way out and maybe, yep, I'll have to have a fight. I don't know.
That's fine. You keep going a little while longer and then you find yourself up against what seems a recent rock fall. It apparently is a dead end. Oh. Blocked off completely.
Bloody hell.
You start to hear the sound of a distant tap, tap, tapping, as of someone mining, but deeper below rather than up ahead.
So you mean, like, back the way I came?
Yes.
I don't have shape stone. That would be really useful to have as a spell.
Phenomenally so, yes.
I know. Just wasn't expecting to be in a mine. I can suppress primal magic. Are these primal rocks? Are these...
They all have hyper-masculine stances, yeah. Lots of bold colours.
Okay, I'm not going to, like, spend hours and hours. I'm going to try and, like... because my glaive is magic, which means that it's preternaturally hard. So I'm going to try and dig through this rock slide a bit. Like, is it small? Like, up at the top, trying to find a thing, because I need to get out of here.
To do anything useful.
And, yeah, exactly.
That's fine. At which point, then? I think I'm going to leave Zol for a little bit.
Sure.
So we disappear back into the ether, let's call it. And then I think... oh, yeah, a minor wibble wobble, please. Just a very minor one. Thank you. At which point, then, I think we're going to go ahead and jump to Azu.
Oh, gosh.
You have a similar experience. You sort of phase in, almost. You are in an empty... first empty, let's say, better. A wasteland. It feels familiar to you. There's a lot of decimated and destroyed buildings around you. Let's say you come to sort of facing a wall, suddenly look around. You find yourself surrounded by ruins, with a particularly large ruin further ahead of you, up a slight slope. There are sounds of distant cries in this particular landscape. Non-sentient. Think more animal cries than people
right.
cries.
Not non-halfling cries, okay. It's not how manageable. Okay,
if it's halfling cries, that is a halfling having an astonishingly bad day.
Do the ruins look familiar at all?
Give me a perception check.
Well, I rolled a natural one, so that is a 12 in total.
No, you can't place it. The ruins stretch as far as the eye can see in all directions. I'll give you this. It's not Rome. It's bigger than Rome. Rome had hills-ish around it. This doesn't. It's just ruins stretching as far as you can see in every direction, seemingly on the flat, apart from that one raised hill which has a much larger ruin upon it.
Okay. I'm out in the open, yes?
You're in the middle of what used to be a street. Let's say a crossroads.
I'm considering summoning Topaz to give me, like, a better vantage point and...
and a friend.
Yeah, basically. And also, I've never actually... looked into whether she makes me faster or not.
I mean, camels are faster than you are, yes.
Yeah. I summon Topaz.
No, what you do is you try to summon Topaz.
No, don't do this to me!
Give me a new will save. I haven't forgotten the old one. You have a will save on the stack. Now we're playing games the way I like them.
You're getting back at us. Okay, that is a 24.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you put the call out, as you know you do.
Yeah.
You know it's worked. Your magic's definitely happened. If you had to guess, your call's been rejected. Boo, boo, boo.
I refuse to believe that. I think that Azu also refuses to believe that. And it's just going to be like, I'm somewhere weird and Topaz loves me. So she's going to start heading towards, you said there was a large ruin up ahead?
Yeah, it's up a sort of slope, etc. I'd say out of all of this, the actual city itself, it isn't Rome as you remember it, but certainly that larger one is reminiscent of the centre of Rome as you remember it. It has the same kind of broad format.
But it's the Bank of England.
It's a bit larger and a bit more decrepit, let's say.
Huh. Than the Bank of England or Nero's palace?
The Bank of Nero.
The banker's palace, there you go.
Oh, right, okay. What?
I'm going to head towards the Bank of Nero.
Okay. In which case, then, I am going to jump over to... I think Cell.
Oh dear.
Cell, the first thing that you realise is the sound of a lot of life. And by a lot of life, I mean the natural world is the first thing that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And as you think about it, the most that you've probably heard since your childhood.
Right.
And that's quickly followed by the sound of waves. And you do know where you are straight away. You're back home. Home 1.0.
Uh-oh.
Original home.
What state is the town in?
It's not great.
Mm.
I'd say it's worst case scenario.
Oh, no.
Worst case scenario, like recent worst case scenario? Like, basically, is
no,
it still burning?
No. No.
Hmm.
Something awful happened here, and it happened a very, very long time ago.
I mean, like 60 years?
No, more than that. Definitely. You can just tell that at a glance.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting, because Cell left that town while it was still burning.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably, it being a relative, you know, if things have decayed...
It is hard to tell, but the surrounding wilderness has reclaimed this
right.
place. It could be 60, but if it is, it's a six. This is a city at 60 with city miles.
Yeah. So this is. I mean, it was abandoned and burning, and so it's decayed as much as it could. I would assume. Yeah. Cell. Just. I think. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. There would be nothing in their head for a while. This is obviously not real. Isn't quite. Like, yeah, as you say, real is a complicated construct. This is like mm-hmm. the centre of where they don't want to be,
mm-hmm.
which means it is likely something that their psyche has constructed or has been constructed from, rather than, you know, being plumped there out of all the places in all the world. Well, I might as well sightsee while we're here. A walk towards the sea. I think.
Okay.
See what's going on in the docks.
That's where you see the first body.
Now, that would be strange. Because mm-hmm. is it skeletal? Like, is this a fossil?
I'd really love to answer you, but I'm afraid I do have another
right,
call
yeah.
on the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bryn,
Alex.
Hey. Hey, Bryn, hey. You find yourself phasing in to pitch darkness. But it's comfy. Please give me a perception check.
You're in bed.
You're in a hobbit hole.
You open your eyes. Congratulations, you hit the save DC. You're alone, but very safe.
34 on the perception check.
34.
Wow.
You know where you are. You're in a theatre and the lights are off.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
You recognise the smells. You recognise this is a seat. This is a theatre seat. You recognise the acoustics. You're in a seemingly empty and dark theatre. A large one. A very large one.
I reach out to the seats either side of me and see if there's anyone in them.
There is. They do not appear to be moving.
Oh, dear.
Hamid takes a very deep breath. Hamid is going to attempt to cast Dancing Lights.
Okay.
He is going to attempt to do it in as subtle a way as possible and have the lights blink into existence, you know, far enough away from him that he's not the obvious centre of the spell, which I believe will require a spellcraft check.
So give me that spellcraft check then.
20 exactly.
Ooh. Cool. That is sufficient.
That's good. I rolled a 3.
You know that you've done everything correct. A blinding bright light appears directly in front of you, dazzling you for a moment. It is a spotlight.
Ah.
It is not the spell that you just cast.
Oh, dear.
There's a figure stood in the centre of the spotlight.
What?
Where the spotlight is pointed, upon the stage...
Oh, I thought you implied the spotlight was upon me. Okay, that's fine.
No, sorry. It is blinding, but it's not on you. It is on the stage.
Yeah.
And as your eyes adjust, there is a person stood upon the stage.
Who is it, Alex?
It's a person you recognise.
Alex?
It's Aziza. And she's looking directly at you. She's in her performance gear, as you last saw her.
Aww.
Hamid swallows heavily.
She doesn't look happy to see you.
Oh, no!
Hello? I risk a very quick eye flicker to either side. If there's enough reflected light from the spotlight, I should be able to get a sense of what was in the chairs next to me now.
Seems to be a static and well-dressed audience.
I stand up out of my seat.
She speaks loud enough for you to hear. Again, everyone, it's deathly silent in there. You bother to come back then? I'm going to jump across to Zolf.
Hello.
Zolf.
Yes.
You were, last time I checked in, trying to dig your way through the top using the glaive, yes?
Yeah, giving it a go.
You start making good progress, but as you continue, you start finding heavier and larger rocks behind, till eventually you're led to the conclusion, this isn't really going to work. It doesn't quite scan, though, because you heard a small rock fall up ahead and you've encountered...
Something that should have been
at
massive.
At first, what seemed to be small, but a huge cave-in. Those two facts are completely incongruous. They don't make sense.
All right. Not trapped down here.
The tapping back the way you came has gotten a bit louder.
Okay.
It's slow. It's not quick.
Not trapped down here. There's something going on. This is fine. Gonna be fine. Okay. Right. Turn round and go towards the tapping, because I need more information.
That's fine. As you continue towards the tapping, it starts to get a bit louder, and then you quickly find a side passage that you can't believe you missed when you first went up this way. The tapping seems to be coming from there. It's narrower. It seems crudely constructed versus the shaft that you've been in. The shaft that you're in has large wooden shoring, it has everything. This seems to have a narrower, almost like someone's working a natural crack into something more. It shouldn't be here based on a mine as you understand it.
Okay. Okay, right. Nope, it's fine. This is probably the best option. Okay. And I'm gonna...
Who's that?
Is this a voice I recognise?
It is.
Oh.
Right. Zolf.
What? No, it's not. No. The tapping starts increasing and digging more rapidly. Zolf left. Tap, 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 tap. It's just the voices. You ignore the voices. You keep going. You keep digging. That's how you get out. You keep digging.
Farron.
You just keep digging. That's how you get out. You just keep digging. Don't think about it. You just keep digging. That's how you do it.
Farron, I need you to stop digging and come out.
I know it's not you, Zolf. Zolf left.
Yeah, well, seems like Zolf is back. So I need you to come out.
The tapping kind of accelerates, and then you hear a sort of... clearly, like, he dropped it or stubbed his thumb or something. You start hearing something shuffling sort of closer towards your corner and slowly, like, seems to be moving very slow, very dragging. And a shape starts to resolve itself at the edge of your dark vision. It is Ferrin, and Ferrin appears to have been here a long time. Tatty clothing, the tools that he's carrying on his belt appear beaten up, slightly rusted. He has sort of matted hair. It's someone who's been down here a long time.
Yeah. I'm quite wise. Is Ferrin wearing his ring?
Yes.
Great. This isn't real. Fine. Because I'm wearing his ring. So that's... Yes. Yeah, fine. Ferrin?
Zolf, is that really you, Zolf?
Yes. Sure.
What are you doing here, Zolf? You left.
Yeah.
You left me here. It's been a long time, Zolf.
Mm.
You look good.
How long have you been down here for?
Don't know. Long time.
Yeah, without food?
Well, no, there was, you know, boxes and that.
Mm.
I've had to ration, of course.
Mm.
You look well, though. Healthy.
Yeah, you... All right. Look, at this point, I don't know what's going on here. So, but you're... Look, this is not... This isn't... I say real world. What is the real world? But this isn't... Look, you're probably dead.
Well, no, I'm here. So
no, you...
If I'm dead, you're dead.
No, well, maybe. I don't know. But you died, and you were crushed by a lot of rocks, and I took this... Hold my hand up. I took this ring off of the only piece of you that we were able to find.
I didn't... No. The rocks came down, yeah. And then I was yelling.
So how am I wearing this?
I was yelling.
How am I wearing this?
I was yelling, and you never came, Zolf.
How am I wearing this?
How am I wearing this?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's my question.
Let me put it another way. You're saying I'm not real? I say you're not real. Where's that leave us? I'm saying that you left me.
Well, philosophical is where it leaves us.
So much family resemblance.
Look, Ferrin, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if this is a hell for you.
I know why I'm here. I'm here because you left me here. Why are you here?
I'm here.
I'm here because I was trapped down here, and you said that we were there for each other, and then you left me here. You left me down here alone.
Ferrin, I'm sorry, but I've spent a long time feeling like that. And I... Well, I mean, it would be a lie to say I don't anymore.
I don't care how you feel. I care about what you did. And what you did is you left me here, and you did not do what you said. You said you had my back, and you left me here alone. And I have been waiting for you so that you could come here so that I could tell you that.
Ferrin, I did more than that. I killed you.
Well, then how am I here?
Yeah, exactly. The question here is, are we in an afterlife? Are you, I don't know, a reflection of my own psyche back on me? But everything you're saying, yeah, it's true. I didn't come back for you, and I caused your death. Like, if you're trying to guilt trip me, you've got to up your game.
Fabulous. I'm going to use that as a segue. Thank you very much, Ben. Really appreciate it. That played out exactly as I expected. Very, very happy. From that, then, I am going to segue to Sel. I believe you were someone who saw a body, yes?
Yep. Who's the body, Alex?
Well, you couldn't tell. The skeletal.
Right. Sel...
Give me a knowledge nature.
Yeah, that's... Ooh. Now we're back in business. That is 19 plus 16. 35? Yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool. You know, you can discern quite a lot just at a glance. One.
Yeah.
Nope. Okay, a skeleton
mm-hmm.
takes a certain amount of time to come along. That's fine. This is in a perfect pose, which means no elements have affected it. No high tides have come along.
Beasties.
No animals have come along. There's no sign of, like, clothing, because clothing deteriorates at a different rate you know, flesh, etc. There's no signs of dirt disturbance on the ground, which would reflect, like, long-term putrefaction or anything like that.
That's cool.
Odd, though, it is definitely a real skeleton, as far as you can tell. That is a real skeleton, but it can't be what it seems to be, because that's impossible.
Yeah, let me, Alex, given this may be the only chance in my life to properly roleplay Temperance Brennan, can I tell sex, age, and species, as in elf, human, etc.?
Now, knowledge nature doesn't quite work like that to the level of you having medical expertise.
I would say that
you can tell the following, because she did roll quite high actually on knowledge nature. That is an elvish skeleton. You would guess female.
So these things are always within ranges, but
you would guess female. In terms of the how long it's been there, though, you have a bit of a problem, because would you like to know how long that skeleton looks like it's been there based on the context or the skeleton? The skeleton appears to have been there at least 60 years. The context, I don't know, a week max?
Yeah, what I'm enjoying is that, like, Zolf is wise, Sel is not, but Sel is intelligent. So Sel is looking at this as an analytical problem, right? Like, there is no way that in New Greenwich, as it was left burning, that an elvish skeleton would be here in this situation. There's no emotional attachment here in such a way. Like, there's no person this could be. Sel sort of mumbles to themselves. I mean, there's a few people that died but I mean, they died because of the megafauna coming. So, like, they wouldn't be here just lying like they as if like what. It's like someone laid out a skeleton for me to find. Like, who is this supposed
Give
to be?
Give me a perception check.
Okay. That is 24.
Okay, I'm going to give you two facts then. One, they seem to be, if your guess is correct, and given what you're just concluding out loud, they seem to have been trying to make their way to your lab. A second thing that you notice, though, is you hear a distant ringing.
Like a bell?
Like a bell, yeah.
Okay.
Slowly chiming further along the... basically further along the beach.
So, continues to mumble to... So, I mean, I suppose... Like, I mean, Ma would have known that my stuff would have been left here, so maybe if she told someone... Someone could have come to loot, because, I mean, some of the stuff I'd made... And they're mumbling to themselves as they're... walking towards where the bell's ringing.
Okay. Very, very quickly, you turn a corner. Yeah, beaches. Well known for their corners, beaches. Yeah. You cross a bluff, let's say. You bring into a new stretch of shoreline into view. There is a wrecked ship upon the beach.
Is it the ship that their fiancé left New Greenwich in?
Yes. There are a few more skeletons near the vessel in various poses.
This is a comprehension kind of exercise. Ayana, walk towards this and say, like, what are you... Why would you come back? Why begin to jog to get there quicker?
There's quite a few skeletons surrounding the vessel.
Yeah.
As you draw near... They all appear to have fallen where they were sat or whatever. They appear to be sharing a meal.
Sel does what I'm doing right now, which is like massage their forehead and like frown intensely. Like, okay, whoever's made this doing this to me, and they are. Shouting without any caution to being heard by any beasties around or enemies. Like, I'm just gonna need more clues about what I'm supposed to feel, because this doesn't make any sense. Like, why would they come back? They were fleeing? They were fleeing, and I know they didn't come straight back because it took me time to bury the bodies of the people that were left, right? Like, I was here for a while. They did not come back. There is no reason that they would come back, right? Like, that, there's...
You hear the sound of fluttering paper.
Oh, cool. Someone has sent a clue.
You perceive...
Yep.
You get this off the last roll, yep. Don't worry about it. One of them appears slumped over something that they were writing. As you say the words clues, you notice this. It's not, it spontaneously appears.
Oh, okay, great. How suspiciously convenient. Interdimensional psyche. Please don't make me back here. Like, I left. Like, they're okay. They just let me believe that they left. Don't do this. Like, picks up the bit of paper. Like, thanks for the clue, but do I? Okay. You know I'm curious. You, me. If this is me, I hate me. Like, you know I'm curious. You know I won't stop. But you also know that I'm not going to sit here and wallow in guilt until I know what is happening. Because
do you look at what's on the paper?
Yes.
It's ciphered.
Right, okay. Shall I roll to work that out? Just a raw intelligence check?
Or linguistics.
Or linguistics.
If you got it.
Yes. not much training in it, though. Only enough to talk a lot.
Dicey dice.
Ooh, 24.
So you put your mind to the task. Mm-hmm. It's a nice distraction. It's something that is tangible that can be worked on and dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun little cipher. It takes a moment and then you recognise it.
Yeah.
This is a cipher that you used to play around with Hayley. And the second that you realise that, it's very easy to basically almost on the fly decrypt what's written, and it's a diary entry.
Right. Again, suspiciously, mm-hmm. suspiciously useful. What does it say?
Day 37. Still no sign. I have to keep looking. I am going to jump to Brinicus Maximus, otherwise known as Hamid in a giant horrible theatre. You are currently stood surrounded by a static audience looking at a disapproving sister. Well, not disapproving. Disappointed sister.
Ooh.
Well, I... Wait, what? Come back? But... This isn't a... What?
Why are you here, Hamid?
I have no idea. This...
I'm surprised you could even show your face.
This doesn't seem entirely real. What? Where exactly are we? What was the last interaction we had from your perspective?
So it was that unimportant to you, you didn't even bother to remember the details?
So, I don't think we got here from the same places. I think we might be outside of time, or maybe in an illusion.
Would you come up here, Hamid, please?
Sure, okay.
Presumably you do so.
Yeah, I politely pass through all the other people and head up onto the stage.
As you start looking at all the other people... You realise they're not actually people. They're just very well-crafted mannequins.
Oh my
this
God.
Isn't That's Magnus, creepy. Alex.
I was just thinking that.
They're all still, they're not moving or whatever, but they're just well-crafted mannequins, every single one.
As I'm walking up the aisle towards the stage, I reach down to my side and just try very gently to see if my bag of holding opens.
It does not. Good test, though. I'm actually quite impressed. Clever.
Very good. Also, Hamid is so much calmer than I would expect. Well done, Hamid.
I mean, he's processed a lot. He's come to terms with some of his past trauma.
Aziza, it's really nice to see you.
Is it?
Well, from my perspective, you're dead, and I didn't think I would ever get to see you again, so yes.
Why am I dead, Hamid?
I mean...
I think we're both here for the same reason, don't you?
I don't know why I'm here, so I don't know what that reason might be.
Let's go through it. She sits down and pats the stage next to her.
I'll sit down with her. How are you doing?
Seems to me that I'm here because you let me die. It seems to me that if I'm here for that reason, you're probably here for that reason as well.
I mean, no, Aziza. This will always be one of the worst days of my life. Losing you was...
Of your life?
Awful, but I didn't let you die. I went up more or less solo against one of the most powerful wizards to ever exist, and he took away my ability to act. I wish something could have been different. I wish so much that I could have done more, but I did the best I could. There's a lot
in
my life.
The best you could.
I regret.
The best you could, because that's enough.
Mistakes I've made, but...
Because trying hard is enough.
Yes.
The world doesn't care about how hard you try. It cares whether you do or you don't, and you did not.
I know that, Aziza. But that doesn't mean you stop trying, and it doesn't mean you berate yourself for the times where the best you could do wasn't enough.
So what, you're just over me then? Really?
Never.
That easily?
Never. How could you think that? Of course I'm not. I think about you every single day. But that doesn't mean...
She starts to cry.
Oh, Aziza.
Then why didn't you do more? If you care that much, you should have done more when you could.
I wish so fervently that there were possibilities. And I'm so sorry.
I throw my arms around her and bring her in for a hug.
I am going to use that to segue across to Helen.
Okay. All right.
Strap in.
I'm strapped.
So, Helen, you were approaching a large sort of ruined building, correct, up the hill?
Yes.
You start to recognise the avenue that you're walking up.
Uh-huh.
It does have a certain Roman vibe, but it is bigger. It does look worse off.
Gosh.
It's like someone hit the ruins of ancient Rome's catastrophic collapse with a stick. You continue to make your way up. Yeah, you recognise where you are. You've been here before. And then before you realise it, you're stood facing a very familiar chamber.
Is it the chamber that the gate spell was in?
Yeah, actually. The gate spell's not there, though. It looks to be closed.
Good.
Oh, but there is someone there.
Who's the someone, Alex?
They're quite short.
Ah! That was not meant to be an impression, but...
They don't seem to have noticed you're there yet.
Azu says, Grizzop?
Grizzop turns round.
Oh, it's you.
Yes, it's me and it's you. Hi, hello.
What are you doing here?
I don't know. I don't... Well, I'm not dead because Aphrodite isn't here. And you would be with Artemis, so...
You think so? But I'm here, aren't I?
Huh. Yeah, well, you were very devout to Artemis, so yes, you should be with her, so I don't know why you're here.
Well, Artemis is with me.
And he picks up his bow, and the arrow lights on fire, and he fires it at your feet.
Ooh.
And the burning arrow sticks into the ground, like, next to your foot.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Azu's going to try and pick it up. Can she do that? Is that fine?
Unless I'm mistaken, Ben, you'd be able to pick up the arrow, but...
Yeah, it's just an arrow. It's like the attack is augmented by the thing, but once you've shot, it's like it's just an arrow.
There's no magic there or anything like that. It's just an arrow as soon as you touch it.
Yeah. It's a normal arrow, which is empowered, so...
Okay, Azu's picking it up to check that it's actually real and she can interact with it.
Okay. Feels real.
But we've had this before, haven't we? Remember? I was always able to talk to Artemis. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm good at what I do.
Yeah, you
apparently
are.
Your connection's a bit fritzy, isn't it?
Well, that's not really my fault. That's what Rome's like.
All right, well, go on. Call Aphrodite now. Prove it. I'll keep calling on Artemis. And it'll be fine. Because I've got faith. But do you?
Yes.
Really? Because if you have faith, maybe you wouldn't have let go.
Oh!
That is not fair.
Isn't it? Because I'm trapped here. Now, because of you. We could talk about what's fair and what's not, but what happened is I'm here. Well, now you are. Maybe you just got what you deserved.
Ooh. Oh, and that is an out.
Sorry, Helen.
I forgot how mean Grizzop can be.
Sorry, Helen.
He's such a meanie.
It's so much better to give you the hammers to hit each other with. Oh, God.
I got a brief. This is not Ben as a player character. This is Ben as a puppet.
This is
of this.
Ben as my champion. Challenging Helen to emotional single combat on my behalf. I love
it. I'm going to win.
Right, well, I want to know what's going to happen next. We have the luxury of being able to play straight after this whilst everyone else has to wait. Thank you for facilitating my evil, Ben. We'll see more of it next week.
Sorry.
Yes, we
strap will. In and apologies. It's not nice, but sometimes it has to go this way. Look after yourselves and we'll see you all next week.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 188 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, and I saw Ben's face. I know. I'm not allowed to look at Ben's face when I do the intros. Because if I look at Ben's face, the intro goes wrong. That's on me. I know that Ben can't help himself. He's not responsible for his actions. I should not have looked.